The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, October 30th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Normal McDonald's Manager Receives Global Leadership Award, by Matus Janik. Normal. A local McDonald's manager was surprised this week to earn an award given only to the top 1% of the chain's restaurant managers worldwide. Tanesia Edmonds, manager of the McDonald's at 1535 East College Avenue in Normal, was left speechless Tuesday afternoon when she arrived to work and was met with a celebration for winning the Ray Kroc Award. This award is presented to managers who demonstrate outstanding leadership, team support, and community impact. I am extremely grateful. I am ecstatic. I am speechless, Edmonds said. I wasn't expecting it. I think that's the best part about it, the work that I did. It was because that's what I wanted to do, not because I was expecting something out of it. Other McDonald's restaurant managers and colleagues from throughout central Illinois were in attendance, with cake and cookies to help celebrate. Edmonds also received a special McDonald's Letterman jacket, which is only given to Ray Kroc Award recipients. I think it's inspirational for all the general managers and staff to see that the hard work does pay off, said Mikhail Petro, owner and operator of the College Avenue McDonald's location. It gets you results, and you'll benefit from those results with awards and then with continued improvement with your standing in the organization. Originally from the Chicagoland area, Edmonds has worked with McDonald's for over 19 years, starting while she was in college. Edmonds said she worked her way through nearly every level and department within the company, and after taking some time off to raise her children, she was promoted to general manager earlier this year, where she has continued to excel as a leader and developer of people. Edmonds credits her co-workers and peers for helping her get to this point. I have my wonderful assistant who was here with me. Her name was Cindy. I have a supervisor, Pam, Edmonds said. I had an amazing team to do this. I couldn't do it by myself. Edmonds' advice for others is that if you don't have the drive to do something, it's not going to work. I wanted to do something to take my mind off the things that I was going through. And because I was here, I made it a priority to make this a priority, Edmonds said. I wanted to be here. I wanted to bring more customers in. I wanted to drive the sales. All those things I wanted to do. Edmonds will be recognized again at the McDonald's Worldwide Convention next year in Las Vegas. The next local story is entitled, Growmark Gifts $25,000 to Area Nonprofits, by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. Growmark recently donated the proceeds from its corporate art collection sale to three local nonprofits. The proceeds from the artwork were just under $25,000. The three nonprofits selected to receive funds include Home Sweet Home Ministries, $10,000, Threshold to Hope, $5,000, and Illinois Art Station, $5,000. The remaining $5,000 will be used as part of Growmark's Giving Tuesday event on December 2nd, where employee teams will deliver $5,000 checks to local nonprofits. Matt Erickson, a lifelong resident of Bloomington, who is an artist and art broker, was chosen to oversee the sale of more than 40 art pieces starting in October 2023, when Gromark moved to its new corporate office at 1705 Towanda Avenue in Normal, according to a news release from Gromark. Nora Zering, founder of Threshold to Hope, said she plans to use the money to continue offering art classes on a pay-what-you-can basis. 27 pieces still remain in the collection, ranging from small to large, and from geometrics to watercolor works to pastoral scenes. Those interested in viewing or purchasing the art may contact Erickson at vision714@hotmail.com or 309-242-7207. Gromark had a beautiful and diverse collection of art spread across five floors that collected over 40 years, stated Ashley McClintock, Executive Vice President of Human Resources and Corporate Services for Gromark. We're pleased that many pieces have found new homes, and the proceeds will inspire new artists and support our local nonprofit organizations. Next, we have a State of Illinois story that's headlined, Dems Eye Entertainment, Billionaires Taxes for Transit, by Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. Two key negotiators on public transit reform in the Illinois House filed a bill Tuesday to raise up to $2 billion for public transit by taxing entertainment and the unrealized investment gains of billionaires. Chicago area public transit agencies for months have argued that the new funding is necessary to avert a funding shortfall and service cuts. But even as Chicago Democrats Cam Buckner and Eva Dinah Delgado indicated they believed the measure would pass the House, it has a long way to go before making it to Governor J.B. Pritzker for consideration. The Senate passed its own funding plan in May that included a controversial per-package delivery fee, but it went nowhere in the House. The future of Senate Bill 2111 in the Senate is not clear, however. Delgado said the proposal represents what House Democrats think are the best solutions to pay for public transportation. She said a tax on ride shares, deliveries, and real estate transfers that the Senate passed in May were definitely concerning to House Democrats. Senator Rahm Villivallum, Democrat of Chicago, did not immediately respond to a request for comment about the House's proposal. Buckner and Delgado said of the $1.5 billion and $2 billion that would be raised, about $220 million would go to downstate transit agencies. The bill would include a series of reforms similar to what the Senate passed this spring to create a stronger oversight board in the region and improve fare and schedule integration. We heard the characterization over the last 3 or 4 months that this couldn't be a Chicago bailout, Buckner told Capital News, Illinois. So, number one, what is in this bill is very clear that it is a transformative transit package for the entire state of Illinois. Number two, when you look at what we're asking in order to get to that number, the majority of the dollars are coming from the city of Chicago proper, and then the collar counties. How it's funded. The Regional Transportation Authority, Chicago Transit Agency, Metro Commuter Rail, and Pace Suburban Bus collectively face a $230 million funding shortfall in 2026 as pandemic relief money runs out. The funding deficit is projected to grow to $834 million in 2027 and $937 million in 2028. Without action in Springfield to plug that gap, the transit agencies have said they could be forced to cut services by 40%. The largest portion of funding, about $700 million, would come from a 7% statewide tax on entertainment, ranging from streaming services to live shows and other ticketed events. That would help us not only address issues in the northeastern Illinois region, but also downstate transit agencies that are looking at some possible cuts in the future if they don't get some additional funding, Delgado told Capital News Illinois. The sponsors said a $5 surcharge would also be tacked onto ticket purchases for large events and raise about $125 million. The surcharge would apply statewide, but would mostly be paid for by those attending large events like concerts and sporting events in the Chicago area. The charge would allow ticket holders to use their ticket to ride public transportation to and from the event, Delgado said, with the goal being to change people's travel behavior to large events. Here's a local story entitled, FFA Youth Place First in Horse Judging Contest. Stanford. Olympia FFA placed first overall as a team at the Section 9 Horse Judging Career Development event held Wednesday, October 15th. 13 Olympia FFA members competed in the competition, which consisted of 6 different and difficult classes. The classes included Gelding Halter, Mare Halter, Western Pleasure, Horsemanship, Hunt Seat Equitation, and Hunter Under Saddle. Member Finley Hoffman placed second overall and was the best contestant out of the Olympia FFA. Reese Hurley placed 6th overall, and Anna Gordon placed 7th overall. Cameron Rader placed 8th overall, McKendra placed 9th overall, and Brenna Doyle placed 10th overall. Other competing members including Braxton Apple, Chase Myers, Lauren Snyder, Lily Walsh, Vivian Frericks, Summer Berlin, Virginia Frericks, and Morgan Buat. The team now qualifies to compete at the state horse judging at Blackhawk College. The next story is headlined, Cocaine Possession Charged, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Texas man faces drug possession charges in McLean County. Andrew M. White, 46, from Spring, Texas, appeared in custody Tuesday before Judge Don Knapp, charged with one count of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, involving cocaine, a Class 1 felony, and unlawful possession of a Schedule 3 narcotic with intent to deliver, a Class 2 felony. According to court records, White is accused of committing these offenses on October 27th, involving a confidential police source. The prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney Jeffrey Horv, did not file a petition to detain the defendant on these charges, as he was already jailed on other offenses. White was represented by Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace at Tuesday's hearing. The defendant is scheduled for arraignment on November 14th. Next, we have a personal finance story from the front page entitled Feds, Medical Debt to Go on Credit Reports by Ken Sweet. New York. The Trump administration is moving to overrule any state laws that may protect consumers' credit reports from medical debt and other debt issues. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has drafted what's known as an interpretive rule related to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, interpreting the law in a way that says the FCRA should preempt state laws or regulations when it comes to how debt should be reported to the credit bureaus like Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. This repeals previous Biden-era rules and regulations that allowed states to implement their own credit reporting bans. More than a dozen states, like New York and Delaware, prohibit the reporting of medical debt on a consumer's credit report. Medical debt is often the most disputed part of a consumer's credit report because insurance payments can take time, and oftentimes patients do not have the means to fully pay a medical bill if insurance is not covering a procedure that has already taken place. The three credit bureaus jointly announced in 2023 they would no longer track medical debts below $500, which at the time the bureaus said would eliminate 70% of all medical debts reported on consumers' credit files. But some states have gone further than that. New York, Delaware, and others passed laws where medical debts can no longer be reported to the credit bureaus. The CFPB, which is largely not operating at the moment, with the exception of actively repealing previous rules written under President Biden or earlier, says in its rule that Congress intended to create national standards for the credit reporting system under the FCRA, and state laws run afoul of that intention. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that Americans owe roughly $220 billion in medical debt. In Republican-controlled states like South Dakota, Mississippi, West Virginia, and Georgia, roughly one in six Americans have outstanding medical debt, according to the KFF. Having outstanding delinquent medical debt can impact the ability of an individual to apply for a mortgage, a credit card, or an auto loan. A spokesperson for the Bureau did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And here's another finance story headlined, Turkey Prices Under Pressure, by Rhiannon Branch, FarmWeek. A combination of challenges on U.S. farms has pushed turkey prices higher as the calendar nears Thanksgiving, with wholesale prices up about 40%. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Bernd Nelson pointed to economic challenges and increased disease pressure as the leading causes in a recent market intel analysis. Highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, has had a major impact on the turkey industry, affecting about 18.7 million turkeys and accounting for 10% of all birds affected by the virus since 2022. This includes 2.2 million turkeys affected so far in 2025, he said October 1st. The next day, USDA confirmed another 42,000 turkeys were impacted by HPAI on a commercial turkey farm in Calhoun County, Iowa. With fall waterfowl migrations in full swing, the industry faces the likelihood of additional HPAI cases in coming weeks. Avian metapneumovirus, AMPV, is also affecting turkey flocks, and while it is far less fatal than HPAI, it threatens future production. One of the greatest impacts of AMPV is a reduction in egg sets for breeders producing the next generation of turkeys to replace losses from HPAI, Nelson said. Breeders face a tough road with the risk of egg-laying birds becoming infected with either HPAI, AMPV, or both. The intensity of the two diseases is causing contraction in the nation's turkey flock. As of September 26th, USDA estimated turkey production this year could total 195 million birds, which is down 3% from 2024 and marks the lowest estimate in 40 years. The agency predicts total 2025 turkey production will be 4.84 billion pounds, down 1.8 billion pounds, or 5% from 2024, and down 11% from nearly 5.5 billion pounds in 2023. But Nelson said even though turkey supplies are lower than historical averages, demand is also down 12% over the past decade, so there will be plenty of turkey for the holiday season. USDA recently predicted the 2025 national average composite wholesale price for a frozen whole hen turkey will be $1.32 per pound, up 38 cents per pound, or 40%, from the 2024 average price of 94 cents. It's important to remember prices are still 32% lower than just 3 years ago, Nelson said. These production challenges shouldn't have any impact on consumers' ability to get turkey, but they may translate to higher retail prices this holiday season. And here's another Thanksgiving-related item entitled Trick or Treat to Close Roads by Matus Janik. Normal. Uptown Normal's annual treat feast for trick-or-treaters returns from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Thursday, October 30th. The event is free and open to all ages. Costumes are encouraged. In preparation for the event, several roads will be signed no parking starting at 3 p.m. Thursday and closed to vehicular traffic beginning at 4 p.m. These roads include East Beaufort Street from Linden Street to Uptown Circle, all of Uptown Circle, North Street from Fell Avenue to Uptown Circle, and Constitution Boulevard. Due to the anticipated crowds and activity in the Mark R. Peterson Plaza, cyclists and other Constitution Trail users are asked to use alternate routes via Uptown Normal during the event. The areas are expected to reopen around 7 p.m. Thursday, as soon as it is safe to do so, the town said. A map highlighting the road closures can be found at arcg.is/JOINL. And here's a local story headlined, Woodford County man charged in federal court with making threats against Trump, by Drew Zimmerman. Peoria. An El Paso man is being charged in federal court with making threats against President Donald Trump. Derek Lopez, 27, was arrested Tuesday on these charges and faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. Preliminary and detentions hearings are scheduled for 2 p.m. Monday at the federal courthouse in Peoria. Lopez, a graduate teaching assistant at Illinois State University, had recently been relieved of his duties at the school after authorities said he disrupted two international tabling events hosted by a registered student organization affiliated with Turning Point USA. Misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and criminal damage to property in that incident remain pending in McLean County. He is scheduled for a pretrial hearing for the misdemeanor case November 25th. The investigation leading to his Tuesday arrest was led by the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Springfield office with the assistance of the United States Secret Service, the El Paso Police Department, the Woodford County Sheriff's Office, and the Illinois State University Police Department. And here is an update to an earlier story entitled McLean County's 911 Service Audio Quality is Restored by Pantograph Staff. Bloomington. The audio quality for McLean County's 911 service has been restored, county officials said. The 911 phone system that serves Metcalfe and Bloomington experienced a technical issue Wednesday morning, causing distorted and delayed audio. Rhonda Flagel, executive director of the McLean County's Combined Communications Center, reported the issue around 7:30 a.m., but by 11 a.m., the issue had been resolved. No further details regarding what caused the issue were immediately available Wednesday. We understand how critical reliable 911 service is to our community and appreciate everyone's patience as we work to restore normal operations, Flagel said when the issue was reported. And here's an item entitled, Meniere Welcomes Antique Tractors to Annual Plowing Event This Weekend, by Drew Zimmerman. Meniere. Antique tractors will once again gather near Meniere to demonstrate old-fashioned plowing techniques during the 23rd Annual Antique Tractor Plow Day. The event will start at 11 a.m. Sunday along Route 122, 3/4 of a mile east of Meniere. If it rains that day, the event will be rescheduled to Sunday, November 9th. Admission is free for spectators, but anyone with an antique tractor and plow is invited to participate for a $25 fee. Lunch will be provided by the Meniere Fire Department, and all proceeds will go toward the department. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for October 30th. Please stay tuned.